I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, you know what? I spent an evening of watching baseball, and I certainly didn't spend an evening of baseball to not talk to you guys about it. So that's what we're about to do for the next handful of minutes. All right, let's start with this. Let's start with the Yankees and the Red Sox game. That was the game that happened when I was off work. I got a chance to watch a large majority of the game. Do you guys know how when you're watching a scary movie, how there is always foreshadowing? You can always see, for the most part, what's about to happen, but the people that are in the middle of it can never see. What always kind of frustrates me about watching scary movies is the people that are in a scary movie never act like they've seen a scary movie before. Like, you usually can say, hey, it's time to exit. You guys remember the first time you watched Paranormal Activity? There were so many signs that it was time for you to get out of that house. The house is haunted. You need to move. But nope, they just kept spending the night there. And yeah, eventually you were right. The house, it in fact was haunted. This same thing happened yesterday in the Yankees and Red Sox game. It was 0-0 for the first 4-plus innings in the game. We now got to the bottom of the fourth. Now, this is a mistake that a lot of people make when looking at sports. They think that every close game comes down to the final 2 minutes. And I get it. They think they're going to have this Michael Jordan shot against the Utah Jazz or some Patrick Mahomes drive down the field in the Super Bowl or Tom Brady, or you're going to come up and the bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, you're going to hit a grand slam. Nope. Sometimes games are decided way before then. The Yankees and Red Sox game was decided in the fourth inning. Cody Bellinger hit a double. He got up and he was doing, you know how baseball players do, little hand motions when they get on base. All right, now, it's important to note. Now, Conley Early, who was starting for the Boston Red Sox, he had made two road starts in his entire baseball career. One was in Tampa Bay, one was in Sacramento. So we're talking about a capacity of 10,000 people. He is now in trouble at Yankee Stadium in an elimination game. So just narrowly missed it. But Cody Bellinger hits a double. Well, the next batter up is Giancarlo Stanton. He walks. Now, Nathan, I don't know if you're watching the game or not watching the game, but if you're a young guy and you are making your fifth major league start and you are only making your third start on the road, and I just told you where they were, and you are in a deciding elimination game, and it is the bottom of the fourth inning, and now it is bases loaded, but there's a runner on first and second with no outs. What should you probably do as the manager?
Consider getting someone up in the bullpen / pulling the starting pitcher.
Well, you know what? That's not what they did. They let him continue. Well, he struck out the next guy. He struck out Ben Rice. Well, now he gives up a single. Cody Bellinger scores from second base. It is now 1-0. Now, Nathan, I'm going to ask you another question. You have given up a double in this inning. You have walked somebody. You have now given up a single. You've given up another run. What should you probably do in this scenario?
Well, if it were Aaron Boone of the Yankees, he would have pulled Max Fried two innings ago. Yeah, I'm probably thinking about pulling this guy by now, Carrington.
Well, that's not what happened. Jazz Chisholm hits a single. Anthony Volpe gets another single. They then have a fielder's choice, an error, and now what goes from a 0-0 game to start the inning is now a 4-0 game, and now the Red Sox make a pitching change. It was too late. You're dead. That's the end of your season. Sports are real simple. Sports are like life. A lot of times your body will tell you, hey, maybe you should go to the doctor. You know, you got a pain that you haven't felt before. And your wife told you, babe, I don't know. Maybe you should go to, I'm fine. We've all done this before. Your body is telling you something. Something's off. That pain that you feel in your shoulder, you should probably get it looked at. Well, now you can't. Your arm fell off. That's what happened with the Boston Red Sox. Nonsense. Silliness is what happened. Now your season is over. There is no tomorrow. There's no tomorrow. You don't get a do-over. This is not the getaway day against the Los Angeles Angels. No, this is the decision that ultimately decides your season. And you decided to let a young guy try to work through it and get himself out of the jam. Yeah, he got himself out of a jam. Now you in Cabo. Now you're at the private villa in Italy. I hope you have a great offseason, Boston. That's how things ended for you. So let's move to the National League game. Now, this one's a little bit different. Nate, it's a little bit different. The Cubs were up 3-0. Heading into the ninth inning, the Padres hit a home run, and now it's 3-1. All right, you got something cooking a little bit. Well, next thing you know, they got a runner on first and second. There's still no outs here. Hold on. We're getting a little tight here. All right, so you just hit a home run. There's a runner on first. There's a runner on second. There's no outs. It's the ninth inning. I mean, this is it for you. This is your season. Well, Xander Bogaerts is in a very tough, very competitive AB. You know, he's in a tough AB. Borderline call doesn't go his way. This is now called a strike instead of a ball. Xander Bogaerts, he is now out. It is now one out. And according to Xander Bogaerts, that one call lost them the game. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that one call lost you the game when you were down 3-0 heading into your final three outs. Now, yes, if you go back and you look at it, that is a ball. It should have been called a ball. You should have been able to take your base, should have been able to go first base, should have been bases loaded with no outs, and who knows what potentially happened. But I don't want to hear that. I really don't. And this is the thing that we all know is going to happen because it's happened in the other sports, so I can see into the future. These baseball players think that instant replay is going to make things perfect. No one that watches football thinks that instant replay has made things perfect. No one that watches basketball thinks that basketball is now perfect because they have instant replay. So how they're doing the challenges, you get two throughout the game, and you get one if it goes to extra innings. So maybe in this scenario, the Padres would have used their challenge in the second inning. They also would have used it in the fifth inning, and now they don't have any at the end of the game. That happens in instant replay situations all of the time that you have quite simply run out of them. I'm telling you, if baseball players think that next year adding this instant replay is going to make balls and strikes call perfect, they are about to be in a world of hurt because that is not going to be the case. It has not solved any of the other sports. If anything, it has made the other sports more confusing. Now, I understand baseball, it's a lot more black and white. You got to throw it into this perfectly box. We'll see how it ends up working. But the Padres, they end up losing 3-1. Their season is now over. The Red Sox, their season is over. Last game from yesterday, as we were taking the day off today, and tomorrow we get things going back in the baseball playoffs, the Tigers avoided serious disaster. If they had lost yesterday and their season was over because of that, I mean, we are talking about one of the epic collapses in the history of Major League Baseball. Just think about the lead that the Tigers had and the fact that they had to then go on the road to win this game. They had their division all but locked in and secured. So I told you guys yesterday that the Guardians, they were 68-69 on September 2nd. They were then hosting the wild card. The Tigers on September 2nd, the Guardians were 68-69. The Tigers were 80-60. They went on the road in the playoffs. If they had lost that game and they had their season ended by that team in their division, it would have been a collapse of epic proportions. The Tigers proved that they were better than the Guardians for the first 135, 140 games of the season. Now, you got to play a full 162, and they deserve to go on the road based on how they finished, but they desperately needed to win. Yesterday, I thought, was actually pretty straightforward in that series. Really straightforward. The Tigers were really bad with runners in scoring position in games one and games two. They were much better in game three. They won game three. Like, it's easy. Like, sometimes in basketball, well, if you shot 15% from three, if you just made more threes, you would have won. You missed all your free throws. That's why you lost. If you go 2-for-24 in games one and game two for runners in scoring position, that's how you lost. Be better with runners in scoring position. They did that against the Guardians in game three. They ended up winning, and they ended up advancing. Now they go on the road to play the Mariners in the divisional round of the postseason. Nathan, I watched a lot of baseball yesterday. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, the Tigers like might have saved jobs compared to losing to that team on the road that they blew that lead to. Yeah, I'm with you. That would have been an epic collapse. I think on the Xander Bogaerts point, I think his argument's even weaker than you gave it credit for, because I believe that he struck out right after the home run when nobody was on base yet. It was after his at-bat that those two guys got on base. The inning developed, and the Padres then had two chances with a tying run on base, couldn't get it done. Now, I understand that had Xander Bogaerts gotten on base, it would have developed differently. I completely get that. But it's just as likely as it is when Bogaerts says, oh, ABS would save this. We need it immediately. It's just as likely that they would have been sitting there in the situation with no challenges left. And what if, you know, what this is just a problem with taking the one call that costed the game argument in general. I didn't watch very much of that game. I don't know what calls were missed in the first eight innings of that ball game. All I'm seeing is that one snapshot in time. And so, look, they had chances to win the game afterward. It's a brutal call, but I think his argument is even weaker than you gave him credit for. I think it was incredibly weak what that dugout did when the umpires were, and not like in the offended, there's no room for that in sports, but just weak. Like, you guys lost, you got bounced. Don't physically go after the umpires in the dugout.
Yeah, for sure. I'm 100% with you there. And, I mean, they also had a runner on first and second with one out and then didn't score another run in the game.
So, chances.
You didn't manufacture a run. You hit a solo home run. You then had an opportunity to just, you got to figure out a way to scratch two across. You didn't scratch two across. You lost. Have a good day. That's how this thing goes. Coming up on the other side, we're going to get back to football. We're going to head to Denver. We have been to Las Vegas. We have been to Los Angeles. We're going to conclude our trip around the AFC West with a trip to the Denver Broncos. It feels like a Chiefs bye week, even though it's not a Chiefs bye week. Keep it right here. So drive.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's George Karlaftis from the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome to The Drive with C-Dot on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into the show. Wanted to let you guys know that it has officially been announced Lamar Jackson is out for the Week 5 matchup against the Houston Texans. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit, but let's be joined by friend of the show, Josh Dover, joining us for the first time. We have already been to Los Angeles. We've already been to Las Vegas. It is time to finish out our trip around the AFC West with a trip to Denver, Colorado. Josh, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, man. It's a football Friday. Love talking shop with you.
Absolutely, man. Let's just start with this. I expected Bo Nix to be a little further along than he's been so far. He had a fantastic rookie year. Very, very impressive. He was second in the rookie of the year voting. He doesn't seem to be as explosive this season as he was last year. Is that an overreaction to the first 4 weeks of the season, or are you noticing the exact same thing?
Yeah, not at all, man. I'm with you on that. And I would say this, I was a believer in Bo early on with some of the stuff when people had doubts about the short yardage throws, check downs, and all this stuff. I thought he'd figure it out to fit with Sean Payton. And then, as you said, they did that after about week 4, week 5 last year and got better, turned into a 10-win team, got their butts beat in a playoff game against a really strong team in the Bills. But he got better every week, getting through more progressions at a quicker rate, planting that bat back foot and throwing, knowing what, you know, 3-5-7-step drop, what he's going to do. And then you go back to May. He told their offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi, who told us in the media that Bo said, he's like, man, I don't have to think about my footwork as much this second time around, which makes me so much better. And here we go now through 4 weeks, and he's struggled in a handful of these games. He's been the reason they lost that Colts game, missing a few throws because of bad footwork. So he's gotten kind of back to that Bo from weeks 1 through 4, 1 through 5, when, you know, he's a rookie playing the toughest position in sports, drinking from a fire hose, really not knowing what he's doing. And some of that is because Sean's overloading him with plays and substitution packages are too much. I thought they got back to some of the basics a week ago, which led to them getting on track, although it was a bad Bengals team. You can only beat who's put in front of you. But I'm with you, man. You thought maybe, hey, he's going to pick up where he left off, and he looks like he went back to rookie Bo.
How much of our feelings about the Broncos really just stems from one penalty? They had the Colts beat. The Colts missed the field goal. The Broncos run on the field. They win this game. They're 3-1. I feel like the tone of our conversation is going to be different. How much of the feeling about the Broncos really just centers by one penalty that they made in week 2?
That's a great point, because it would be completely different. I mean, they were kind of the darling. Well, that's mostly because their coach wouldn't shut up during the preseason and training camp. But they were the darling from a bunch of, you know, national outlets, and people in my town were pretty excited about what was going to happen. But I will tell you, with that penalty, with the loss by a field goal to the Chargers game, the narrative out here with doubters is still that, like, hey, they can't beat good teams in one score games. That's what a lot of NFL games are, especially against these tough teams. You need to find a way to win a one score game. So yeah, the narrative would be a little bit different. And I think maybe some of these national voices would continue to be loud if that penalty didn't happen, or, you know, they don't blitz on a 60 freaking yard field goal. Darren Rizzi's their special teams coach, said he tried something for the first time on that play. I'm like, genius. Great timing on that one, coach. But I still think there would be some questions about whether or not they can close in one score games about the, you know, versus the good teams.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Dover, taking a closer look at the Denver Broncos after the first month of the season. They also play the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles coming up in a bit. I want to ask you about another team that you guys have played. We just talked a little bit about the Colts. Are you a believer in the Colts? I feel like there's a handful of teams in the AFC that we all just don't know yet. Pittsburgh is one of those teams. Jacksonville is one of those teams. I feel like the Colts are in that conversation as well. You watch your team play the Colts. Are you a believer in them?
Well, I'll tell you, they certainly made me look stupid because I was running my mouth on the radio on my show out here about Daniel Jones isn't this and Daniel Jones can't do that and wait till Sunday. And then I had to eat a whole bunch of crow on Monday. So even with that being said, I'm not that sold. Jonathan Taylor's really good. Tyler Warren is outstanding. And that dude's going to be a star, C-Dot. He's really, really good. And the more ways they can find to use him, the better. He should touch the ball 10, 12 times a game, if possible. But I still don't think Daniel Jones is it. I mean, yeah, guys can figure it out at that position, at this level. I'm just not sure that it's Daniel Jones. So I think they have a couple of good weapons in JT and Warren, but I think they're on their way to coming back down to earth. So I just don't believe in Daniel Jones.
I love you guys' run game. I kind of use the Broncos as the example for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what I wanted the Chiefs to do this offseason. The Broncos spent a decent draft pick at R.J. Harvey, but he was a very popular choice at running back. They also got J.K. Dobbins on a one-year deal. He has more than lived up to it. At least with Bo Nix, I think the hope and the optimism should be, I mean, there's no shortage in weapons to turn this thing around for the Broncos offense.
100%, and they should actually lean into J.K. and R.J. a little bit more. J.K. Dobbins hasn't had more than 16 carries in a game yet. That number should be at 20, although history would tell you Sean Payton doesn't generally give his running back 20 touches a game. You know, few and far between he will, but that should be who they are. You know, they should be a run-first football team and then set your passing plays up to the play action once you have run the ball. J.K. Dobbins rushed for 100 yards last week. Dude, it was the first time since Latavius Murray did it for the Denver Broncos back in the 22 season. And if he goes for 100 again this week, it'd be the first time a Broncos running back has done it in back-to-back weeks since the 2018-19 season. So I think they should lean into that a ton more. Use the run game. Let the defense think that's what you want to do, and then let Bo get wide receivers involved. Evan Ingram's been a ghost, their big offseason acquisition, and if they had a bit of a run game and can use him in, like, chip and release scenarios, you start to see, you know, what Sean promised would be the Joker. So I think they should give J.K. and R.J. even more opportunities than they already are.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Dover, getting his thoughts on the Denver Broncos. I got a quick question about the defense. I thought the Broncos could potentially have the best defense in the National Football League. I don't think they've been that in the first month of the season. How would you assess the defense?
Yeah, I wouldn't call them the best either, but I still think they're top five, top eight, you know, on their way to being solidified back in that top five. Their edge rushers are outstanding. Nick Benito and Jonathan Cooper are so good, and there were worries about, at least from the Benito perspective, hey, is he actually going to work on stopping the run now that he got his big bag? And he has. And his pressure rate and both of their get-off rates, they're first and second in the NFL right now, getting off to win the snap, when the ball is snapped. So they're living up to it. I would say guys like Zach Allen, you'd like to see a little bit more from. They're terrible, absolutely terrible at the inside linebacker position. Justin Strnad's there because Dre Greenlaw hasn't shown up yet, and he's just not it. He's a great special teams player, but when he's asked to be a full-time starter, he lacks in a lot of departments. And Alex Singleton's, you know, a 30-plus-year-old linebacker coming off of a major injury. I'd pick on him every damn chance I got if I were an offensive coordinator in the league. So that's where they're really weak. And then guys like Zach Allen, they need to be a little bit better to what they were a year ago. They are getting Malcolm Roach back this week, and that's going to keep guys like DJ Jones and John Franklin Myers a little bit more fresh throughout the game. So that'll help. But I'm with you. They're not that top defense right now. I still think they're a top eight defense on their way to being back in the top five.
You guys have a big game this weekend coming up against Philadelphia. The Eagles are weird because they've won 20 of their last 21 games. They're undefeated. They always figure out a way to win, but they just seem incredibly vulnerable to me. If the Broncos go on the road and pull off the upset, tell me how they do it.
You know, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities, to be honest. You said it. They're up and down. Who are the Eagles right now? Now you have to keep Saquon in check, obviously. You hope that A.J. Brown continues to be a big old crybaby there, pouting about what he's going to tweet after the game. if the Broncos can, like I said, get J.K. Dobbins going, I would think J.K. and R.J. combined have to do like what they did last week. They were flirting with 200 yards between the two of them, combined yardage and total yardage between rushing and receiving. So they'd have to do that. Bo would have to play a perfect game with no turnovers, and that defense would have to get something out of Jalen Hurts or Saquon or you know Goddard when he's out as a receiver with the ball in his hands. Get a turnover. And I don't think the Broncos are going to win like a 21-24 game. If they have a shot, I think they have to come out early, kind of shock the world, go up, and make the Eagles chase a little bit. So I think they have a, I mean, let's call it a puncher's chance, if you will. But, man, it's going to be a huge test for this team. And I also want to say this real quick. The Eagles have won a bunch of games. I really like that one they won in February.
Josh. I haven't thrown any shots your way at the Broncos, and that's how you wanna play in this conversation. Why are you doing this? You know, there's no reason for this. That was out of bounds. There was no reason to do this. I was literally just about to give you guys a compliment, and I was gonna say, if you look at their schedule right now, there's a little bit of a runway. You got both teams in New York. You got the Cowboys. You got the Texans. You got the Raiders. All of that leading into a home game against Kansas City. You guys could maybe be sitting at 7-3. 8-4, whatever it would be heading into that game. But, of course, you had to throw shots. There was no need for that.
It's a Friday. I'm feeling good, C-Dot. I'm talking to you. You know, I got to take them when I can get them, my man.
But, Josh, looking at this stretch on very serious, like, if they can find a way to steal this game against the Eagles, which the Eagles are going to lose eventually, like, they're not going undefeated this season. Like, if you look at this schedule, the Broncos could easily find themselves at 7-3 and be viewed potentially as one of those contending teams in the AFC.
I agree. And look, I'm sure you kind of have a similar feeling, right? The first month it's a tough place to be as an NFL team, especially with what the preseason is now, and I know there's joint practices, but that's not the same as playing real football. So I think it's about 4 or 5 weeks when teams start to figure themselves out. Coaches are starting to say, oh, here's how I use this playmaker. Here's how I can put this weapon on the field, so on and so forth. So I do think there's this spot, right? That's why I think there should be some optimism with Broncos fans about what happened last week against the Bengals, because they looked good in what they wanted to do. And that's what you should start to see from your football teams when we start to turn the calendar to October. So, like I said, I believe in the defense is getting back there. Can Sean and Bo figure it out fast enough to start to take advantage of this schedule? They should be able to.
I'll get you out of here with these last two questions. The first one is, if I give you a $100 free bet right now on FanDuel and I tell you to predict the winner of the AFC West, who would you pick?
Man, the Chargers are hot, right? Everybody thinks they're this year's squad, but I can see them coming back down to earth. You know I took my shot right there, and I'm not trying to make up, but like I said, 4 or 5 weeks into this, I think teams are going to start to figure themselves out. If you're giving me some free money on FanDuel, let me get some more of that cash on FanDuel. I'd put it right back on the Chiefs. It's so hard to bet against what history has taught me. And when you have the best head coach in a matchup with the best quarterback in a matchup, you're going to win a bunch of football games, man. I know there's a bunch of questions about the Chiefs team right now, and I think a lot of them are fair. But I'd unfortunately have to roll with the Kansas City Chiefs.
You could have possibly sold me on the Chargers just a little bit if they had won last week. But you and I both know this. Every version of the Los Angeles Chargers loses that game last week. Like, you can't tell me that it's different in Los Angeles if you're going on the road and losing to a team that I think is going to have the 4th overall pick in next year's NFL draft.
No, you're 100% right. It's just, I don't know what it is, because I think Harbaugh's a really good coach. I think Justin Herbert's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. He might be a top 7-8 quarterback in the NFL, but it's just, when there is a way to lose, the Los Angeles Chargers will find it 100% of the time.
How much are you going to miss Michael Porter in Denver?
0.0%. That's how much. They got better, man.
That is our guy, Josh Dover, joining us on the show today. Josh, man, I look forward to catching up with you, man, at the end of the month, man.
Yes, absolutely. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. That's our guy, Josh Dover, joining us. 0.0, that man said. There is not a shred of missing Michael Porter, man. I mean, at least I'd have missed him in the locker room. He'd gave you a good quote, gave you something. Not even miss him that much. Doesn't even miss him that. You know what, Nathan? I want to take a little bit of a detour, and I want to ask you a question. Now, this question is really important because you're one of my favorite people that fills in whenever Rob isn't here. You know, like, let's say that one day Rob decides that he wants to be the boss man, you know?
I would say, hey, you know what? Just bring Nathan into the show. You know what? Me and Nathan got a good rapport, but I got to know the character of a man here. This is why. I believe that everybody has their favorite older woman, their favorite cougar, so to speak. The text line knows who mine is. It used to be Martha Stewart. But you know what? As I was watching Sunday Night Football, I saw Reba McEntire. And I was like, hold on, Reba. I didn't know. I was unaware with Reba's game. Just a couple of months ago, Jamie Lee Curtis, when she was promoting that movie, I had no clue. Yeah. I had no clue that she had such a bright future. I had absolutely no idea. So, Nathan, I'm coming to you because I want you to share with us, who's your Reba McEntire? Who's your Jamie Lee Curtis? Who's your Martha Stewart?
It is, always has been, and always will be Salma Hayek.
It's not a bad one.
You know who I'm talking about?
I can't. Okay, yes, I know who Salma Hayek is.
Hey, I didn't.
You know what? Actually, she doesn't count because she's under 60 years old. So you have to find somebody
over
60. Else.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
She's 59 years old. She has to be over 60 in order to qualify for this category. She's just outside it. You can't use her discount right now at Denny's. You can't use her discount for the AARP. She's not old enough yet. You got to be 60 and up. Who's your Reba McEntire? Someone said I thought yours were Olivia Benson. She's just in her own category. I love Mariska Hargitay. That's just, I love her on a human, personal, like, it's not even attraction to me with Olivia Benson. Like, I think she's a superhero. Like, I think Law & Order SVU is really about a superhero. It's about Olivia Benson that tries to rid New York City of crime and sexual assaults. So my love for her, just, it's on a different level. It's different. Like, with Reba, it's just pure lust. Like, there's nothing else there, you know? I don't listen to her music. I don't watch her television show. It's just pure physical attraction. I love Mariska Hargitay on a very different level.
So it's just Salma Hayek on the brain for me right now. But at the risk of, I guess, risking my career based on what you just said, and thank you for the compliment, man. There is something superhero-ish and larger-than-life-ish about Dolly Parton. And
That's a good one. See, Dolly Parton, she absolutely fits this.
She's definitely over 60.
Oh, 100%. How old was Dolly Parton? Dolly Parton's 79 years old. You're a man that likes the finer things in life. That's what you are. You're a man that likes the finer things in life. Cher, they're doing like comparable people. Cher's 79 years old, too. Cher looking good, too. Cher's looking great at 79 years old. Cher was born May 20th, 1946 is when she was born. So I just want to pass that information, man. So I'm here to help. I'm here to give out help. That's what I'm here to do. Can we talk about Thursday Night Football just a little bit? All right. This is my thought on Thursday Night Football. A couple of things. That's the first thought that I have on Thursday Night Football. That was a Kyle Shanahan masterpiece. That's what it was. It was a masterpiece. Now, I know it was week 5. I don't care. When you don't have your starting quarterback, you don't have your number one, number two, or number three wide receiver, or your number one tight end, your best defensive player is hurt, you go on the road short week against a team that is in your division, a team that is mainly healthy, and you dominate that game from start to finish the way that I think San Francisco did, that is a masterpiece. The Ravens look broken, and they have almost the exact same injuries that the Niners have. They look completely broken. We see teams that have far less injuries. You miss one guy, and nothing on your team works. For Kyle Shanahan to be able to do that with that team on a short week and perform at such a high level that they did. That wasn't a grind it out kind of win. That wasn't a 13-10. No, they stood in the middle of the ring and went toe to toe with the Los Angeles Rams and scored 26 points in that game. Mac Jones was through for 342 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Christian McCaffrey had over 130 yards from scrimmage. They got 142 yards from Kendrick Bourne. Jake Tonges, I don't even know who he is. I don't know what college he went to. He had 40 yards and a touchdown. Demarcus Robinson had 3 catches for 39 yards. Kyle Juszczyk had 21 yards receiving. How did you throw for 333 yards with guys that we had never heard of before? They didn't even run the football effectively. They ran it for 4 yards on 33 carries. They couldn't even run the ball. That was just an absolute offensive masterpiece. That's number one. Number two, why are teams so afraid of ties? There ain't nothing wrong with a tie. I mean, no one wants a tie. Like, no one's excited about a tie. You're not thrilled about a tie, but it's better than losing. Yes, you want to win the game. We all agree. But we somehow think that losing is better than tying. No, it's not. That's your ego. That's your pride talking. And when the Los Angeles Rams have to go on the road in the first round of the playoffs, because they will be going on the road, we are going to look back to that game in week 5 in which if they had just kicked a field goal at the end of the game and tied it, they'd be in a much better spot. But no, we don't play 4 ties. This is America. This is football. Okay. All right. Well, then lose. How about that? That's what we got you. The Rams really, they really got what they paid for. I mean, if you're going up against a team that is completely decimated, and then I guess this is number three. Number three, they ran the most uninspired, gotta have it play that I have ever seen. For those of you that play Madden, they ran single back HB dive for the most important play of the game. Matthew Stafford threw for 389 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. You got Devontae Adams, Puka Nacua, Kyron Williams. He had 66 yards receiving and 2 receiving touchdowns. It ain't like you ain't got guys. You got guys. With the game on the line, they ran the most unimaginative, unseasoned, no juice, no swag play that you could possibly run. You deserve to not get a yard then, if that's the case. Especially on the same drive in which Matthew Stafford made one of the best throws I've ever seen him make. I mean, little roll around, just an absolute dart down the middle. Like, this, what? The game's on the line. You're not going to trust Matthew Stafford to go make a play? You're not going to trust Puka Nacua, who's one of the 5 best route runners in the league? You're not going to trust him to make a play? Devontae Adams, you're not going to trust? We're talking about elite hands, elite route running. And you gave the ball to Kyron Williams on an HB dive? Sometimes you get what you pay for. What's that saying? Stupid, like, play stupid games, get stupid prizes. You know what I'm saying. I don't know what it is. You know what I'm talking about. That's what the Rams did. They played a very stupid game, and I mean, they got the grand prize. They got a loss at home to the San Francisco 49ers, a team in their division, a team that is playing at 80% capacity, probably even less than that. Embarrassing, embarrassing performance at home from the Los Angeles Rams. Embarrassing.
Halfback dive is that play that you run when you're playing Madden and you need. You're in field goal range, it's a tie game, and you want to burn the other team's timeouts. You know it's not going anywhere, but you don't want to score to give them a chance. You want to just run the clock down. You call HB dive. So I'm with you on that. Kyle Shanahan, it is not to the extent of Mike Tomlin, because he's had losing years, and it's not the longevity either, so that's not what I'm trying to say. But he's got a little bit of that Mike Tomlin thing going on where he consistently gets more out of his roster than he should. Yeah, if you're cooking with Mac Jones and the ghost of the 2023 Chiefs wide receiver room, you got to get some credit. And we like to only look at Kyle Shanahan based on his failures in the Super Bowls, and that's rightfully so. The Falcons come back up 28-3, and then the 2 losses to the Chiefs, especially the one in overtime a few years ago. He's got 3 collapses. But, man, Jake Tonjes, by the way, Cal Golden Bear, I looked that up. But some of these names he was rocking with last night, it's very impressive what he did. By the way, Carrington, it's good to know that DeMarcus Robinson and Marquez Valdez-Scantling are still out here combining for 4 catches for 48 yards. all is right in the world. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we live in some tough times, but Robinson and MVS are still out here going 4 for 48. It's a sense of normalcy. You know what I'm saying?
Especially when the quarterback threw for 300 yards. Yeah. The quarterback threw for 300 yards. Did none of those yards go to DeMarcus Robinson and Marquez Valdez-Scantling? You know what? I'm about to tweet that and steal your tweet. I can't wait. That was good. You got me there. I thought you were about to make some big announcement. You did. DeMarcus Robinson and MVS are still DeMarcus Robinson and MVS. We got Nate Taylor coming on the show in about 15 minutes. Happy to catch up with the beat writer for the Chiefs for ESPN.com. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Trey Smith from the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome back to The Drive with CDOT on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Back into the show. My name is Karen T. Harrison. Happy to be here. Nate Taylor is going to be on the show coming up in 15 minutes. A little bit of news.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Who's outside the world of sports? The verdict is in for Puff Daddy. He got 50 months. He got 4 years and 2 months from the judge. So the sentence is in for Puff Daddy. He got 50 months. I just came down actually right at the start of the commercial break, so just want to pass that to you guys that has concluded. We will see. I don't even know how much time he served. He's been in there for about a year and a half or so, so he's got a little bit longer to go on his sentence, but that is officially out. Coming up at the top of the hour, again, Nate Taylor is going to join us on the show. Happy to catch up with him. Nate, let me ask you this question. I'll give you a couple of things that we have been talking about this week just to get your thoughts on it. The first thing is this. We called it for better or for worse. Give me two things about the Chiefs that are better than you anticipated them being. Give us two things on the Chiefs that are worse than you anticipated them being.
Okay, I'll start with the secondary being the better than. And this is especially comparative to week one. That communication and the space that we saw guys like Quentin Johnston, Keenan Allen, and Ladd McConkey have was startling. But since then, you know, McDuffie has slid back inside with the cornerback room getting healthier. Noel Williams has looked good. And I haven't heard a peep out of the safety room. They haven't been blowing coverages. They haven't been letting tight ends eat over the middle of the field. So I got to go with the secondary as something that is maybe better than I thought it would be at this point in the season. Is it going to be the craziest thing ever that I say my second thing is Kingsley Suamataia? I mean, 2 weeks in a row, we haven't heard a peep out of the left side of that offensive line. We mentioned Juwan Taylor playing a clean game as well, but I know that Baltimore was not healthy. I get that it's a shell of a defense that he played last week. Man, the week before that, he was on an island against Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence is a stud, and Kingsley was one-on-one against him because of the rest of the guys in that Giants D line, and one pressure was given up by Kingsley.
So I'll tell you what my two were, just give you a little bit of time here. So my better was kind of related to yours. Noel Williams was my better. Also, Tyquan Thornton. He was just not a player that I really factored into their offense. And now you're talking about a guy right now who is in line to have 700 yards and double-digit touchdowns. Now, I don't think he finishes the year with 12 touchdowns. But if you were telling me that the Chiefs found somebody last year who was outright cut and released from another team, the next season you bring him back on a one-year, $1 million deal, and he has 650 yards receiving, sign me up for that. I think they found their number three receiver. It's not who we thought it was going to be. We thought it was going to be Hollywood Brown, but I think it's been Tyquan Thornton. He has been my better. Noel Williams, we talked about it earlier in the show. He is the number one ranked corner so far on Pro Football Focus. Again, we're only talking about 47 snaps, so I don't want to overreact to it, but they might have something there with him. So those are my two things that are better. All right, so that's on the positive side. Give me your negative side. Give me two things that are worse than you thought with the Chiefs.
Yeah, and I thought about Tyquan Thornton for the good as well, but I think he was pretty clearly running the Xavier Worthy route tree while he was out. He wasn't doing the things in the running game, and I think he'll still be productive, but I think his usage went down pretty quickly once Worthy returned. Yeah, it's a big find in Tyquan Thornton. For the things that are worse than I thought they'd be, I have to go, and again, this is relative to what I thought it would be, the kicking is by far and away number one. I sat down and did the math last week. I'd have to look back at my numbers. In the years that Harrison Butker has been anything but a top five kicker in terms of accuracy, he's had two of those years, and there was both pretty defined injuries early on in that season. One was the one where he injured his ankle on the opening kick of the season. The other one was last year where he tore up his knee. We've heard nothing of the sort this year, but his accuracy in both the extra points and the field goals attempted look like those down years. So I still trust him when he comes on the field. I believe that they can fix whatever's going wrong with his follow-through. I know Tobe has said a few things that they're working on. But, yeah, the kicking game is not where I thought it would be at this point in the year. And I got to go with the running back room as well. I thought about going pass rush here, but I think we know that it's kind of Chris Jones and friends at times on that D-line. And I also knew, I know from listening to you and Rob all the time, that you knew as well this running back room was a problem. Based on their confidence in bringing Kareem Hunt back, I wanted it to be better, expected it to be better. I thought we would have seen Breshard Smith play the role that he did last week earlier on in the season. So I think Breshard Smith still has room to grow. I still am very much on team trade for a running back, but just based on their confidence in Pacheco, Hunt, and Smith and not taking a big swing in that room, I expected it to be better as well.
So that was our guy Nathan. That was his better or worse so far this season. He put better the secondary and Kingsley Suamataia for his worse. It was the kick game and also Isaiah Pacheco. Let's talk a little bit of college football before we're joined by Nate Taylor of ESPN. I think this is a really important week in the Big 12. If you look at Iowa State, they are undefeated right now. They're ranked 14th in the country. They go on the road to Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a 1.5-point favorite, so essentially a coin flip kind of game. I think that people potentially overreacted to Cincinnati losing what was a road game in week zero against Nebraska, played them very tough, lost that game. I think they're a lot better at quarterback than people gave them a lot of credit for. They're at home against Iowa State. That's a really intriguing matchup in determining who can win the Big 12. When you look at K-State, they are 1-1 in Big 12 play. Baylor is also 1-1 in Big 12 play. We all know that K-State has gotten off to a very slow start, and they have played very poorly so far. If you were K-State, you can drastically turn your season around, stealing a win on the road. Because after that, you got a home game against TCU. You go on the road to play KU. You have beat KU for, 16 consecutive seasons. You got a home game against Texas Tech. Weird things happen in college football. Oklahoma State is not a good team. Now, I understand that you got to start to string some wins together. But if K-State is still that team that we thought they could be at the very beginning of the season, if you still think it's in there in any capacity, they got to figure out a way to beat Baylor on the road. If they figure out a way to beat Baylor on the road, all of their goals are right there in front of them. It's not going to be easy, but you got to go on the road. You're playing a team that you're a 5.5-point dog, but it's also conference play. This is not some night game that you're going into some whiteout tough environment. It's an 11 a.m. road game in Waco, Texas. I'm sitting here looking at it right now. The get-in price for this Baylor game is $7. You are not going into some tough night environment. This is a game that you could potentially go on the road and win. Texas Tech, they've got a road game against Houston coming up. Texas Tech, I think they've been the best team so far in the Big 12. Houston is undefeated. That's a big spread as a road favorite, 11.5. That tells you two things. Vegas really believes in Texas Tech. Vegas does not believe in Houston at all. And Kansas, if you're trying to be a bowl team this year, these games against UCF, that's not a very good team, you got to figure out a way to win that game. Kansas is a 3.5-point road favorite in that one. This is not a great week in college football, if I'm being completely honest with you guys. I mean, there's one or two games that kind of wet your whistle a little bit, but next weekend is really the big weekend in college football. You got Miami and Florida State. Florida State lost last week to Virginia, but that's still a very important game in the ACC. Arch Manning, all of the cupcake games, they are done with Texas. Texas has nothing but SEC games the rest of the way. I wasn't too hard on Arch after the season opening game. I mean, he didn't play well on the road against Ohio State in the game in which they put the banner up and they were crowned national champions. I understand how if that's your first start, essentially, I get how you're a little bit rusty in that one. But you got a month of tune-up games. You just had a bye week, and now you were going on the road to Florida. Tough environment, good defense. Let's see how Arch Manning plays in this one. Alabama plays Vanderbilt this weekend. I only bring that up because Vanderbilt beat Alabama last year, and that really springboarded them to being a bowl team and feeling like they turned things around. Vanderbilt's undefeated. Alabama's got the one loss, but Alabama is at home. And if there's one thing we know, Alabama, they've had that game circled for a year, knowing that they got Vanderbilt coming back to the crib. I mean, outside of that, there really ain't much else this week in college football. It's just kind of one of those weeks. I'm sure we'll have some crazy outcomes because that's just the way the sport is, but there aren't a lot of big-time marquee matchups. A lot of those are next week in the sport. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Nate Taylor of ESPN. Certainly a lot of things to get his opinion on. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.